Chell Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Chell.
Hello.
We all know that black bears hibernate, but what other mammals really hibernate, not just take long naps?
I mean, like us?
Yeah, like us.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, first of all, hibernation. What is hibernation? Hibernation is the slowing down, the depression of the metabolic activity of a mammal. And with that comes a lowering of the breathing rate, the heartbeat, and eventually the body's temperature. So this is a severe depression of all those things that leads to a very low body temperature. And true hibernation means that you really are asleep in the deepest possible way. So true hibernators, which in our part of the world includes woodchucks or groundhogs, whichever you like to call them, and bats and jumping mice. Now bears are, there's a controversy about bears. Some do not like to call bears true hibernators because they don't lower their body temperature as low. They don't go way down there. And they stay much more alert than the other three. So the other three, the bats, the woodchucks or groundhogs, and the bats, are so deeply asleep that it's just about impossible to really wake them up. You could handle them, you could roll them around, and they really wouldn't be able to respond for quite some time. And that's not true of bears, as anyone who's watched the webcam knows. Anyway, so for the other hibernators, let's talk about a specific example, the woodchuck, which most people have probably got a glimpse of at one time or another. And
staring into your garden.
Drooling over your plants. Yeah. Right. They're medium-sized mammal. And like all the true hibernators, the jumping mice, the bats, and the woodchucks are all very active throughout the summer and then very intensely as long as they can in the fall to lay on as much fat as they possibly can because they're not going to eat for months, many months. So they've resolved the problem. In the case of these species, they've resolved the problem of no food to eat by not eating. So this is really a fairly rare adaptation in nature, and there's a reason for that. It's risky. What if the winter lasts a lot longer than you have the stores for? And what if a predator finds you? You're so unalert, you're so out of it that you have no defense. So you have to have evolved some very complex behaviors for finding or creating a safe space, and then to have adapted the physiological properties that will allow you to lay on a special kind of fat that's called brown fat, and that's laid on in great quantities by these species around the head, shoulders, neck area, close to the organs, like the liver and the brain. And brown fat, the main difference is that it's more easily metabolized than the normal fat. So they lay that on. That's very important to their ability to do this. And then their bodies also have to have found a way to know when to hibernate and when to come out of hibernation. And some of that is still a mystery. And in fact, there's a lot of research, medical research, on species like the woodchuck to really understand how their bodies manage to do this, because it would be very useful to be able to, for some kinds of medical treatments and so on, to be able to put a human being into a more suspended state of low metabolic rate and so on. So there's a lot of interest in how they do this, and it's not completely understood. So in the case of a woodchuck, it's down in a burrow, which goes fairly deep into the ground, and they are in a small chamber, usually lined with some kind of fine materials like grass or something, and their heart rate will fall dramatically to just 5 or 6 beats a minute. They'll take a breath just once, long breath, every several minutes. And as a result of that reduction in the metabolic rate, the temperature drops. And that temperature drops down to, in the case of the woodchuck anyway, to about between 36 and 38 degrees. So they're hovering just above the killing temperature, really. They can't, you know, they can't freeze. So woodchucks will head into their dens to really go into that deep sleep when we start to have consistently below freezing nights. So probably sometime in October. Researchers have found a chemical in the blood of these true hibernators that they've labeled the hibernation inducement substance or something like that. So it's a, you know, fancy name. And they've isolated that chemical and found that that chemical plays a big role in the animals going into hibernation and then coming out, the amount of that chemical. So, and they've experimented by taking that chemical from a hibernating creature and putting it into a creature that's not hibernating of the same species. Let's say you've taken it from a woodchuck that's hibernating and you put it into a woodchuck that's in the early summer and out and active. If you put that chemical into its blood, it will go into hibernation.
One more question here, and that is bears, whatever kind of hibernation they're in, that's when they give birth. Mm-hmm. Do woodchucks, bats, and mice?
No, they don't. They don't give birth in the den. They would have to be much more alert, and so they do not. They all are breeding during the non-hibernating period of their lives.
Well, now I understand why we don't see bats in the wintertime.
Yeah, bat in the winter is in
fat
trouble.
Bats can't fly.
Right.
Shella Henderson, botanist and plant ecologist, thanks for helping us understand our true hibernators.
You're welcome.